this week on the Time Bat Show.
I mean, it might not make it more secure practically, but it gets... the pitch is that it gets people thinking about
security.
And thinking about it,
that's half the battle, really.
Yeah.
You know? And that's our elevator pitch, you know? Like, it might not make you more secure, but everyone will be thinking about it a lot. I love how that's the pitch. It might not do anything, but it'll get people thinking about it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 148, I think. I'm your host, one of your hosts, Time Asus.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we've got hell of a show today, don't we, Bat Snacks?
Oh, yes, we do. We prepared super hard for this.
We're winging it! We're recording an hour later because I got home, and do you want to tell the story of your phone? It's kind of a fun story, right?
Yeah, like, I lost my phone, so I had to get a new one.
Okay, so you lost your phone.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's okay, because that phone was close to destroyed.
Yes, I remember seeing it last time.
Cracked and all.
Visited me, and it was very messed up.
Yeah, and I just need to figure out my new phone situation. So now it's like sending from, I think it's sending through iMessage. So it's using my email address instead of my name. I don't know.
So here's what happened. So I have an iPhone, and you have an iPhone. And in case you don't know, listeners, people with iPhones share a special bond. Well, it's not really a bond, but like, you know, the other person has an iPhone because when you text them, your texts are in blue, and if they don't have an iPhone, your texts are in green. So I have an iPhone and you have an iPhone, and when we text, I could see when you're responding and I could see when you read my message and all that shit. But today I get home from work at like 6:30 or something, and I text you, actually it's like 6:15, and I text you, hey, I'm ready to record whenever you are, and I hit send. And I see a green bubble. And I'm like, what happened? Like, it's not blue. And so I was like, did you change phones? Like, I text you like two or three more times. Like, did you get a new phone? Like, what's going on? And then like 20 minutes later, you texted me back. Because I guess you didn't realize you weren't getting texts at this point, right?
I didn't receive any of those.
Okay, so you didn't know I was trying to communicate with you, which is probably why you didn't text me back. No, I had no idea. So then at like 6:45 or 6:30 or something, you text me like, oh, sorry, I'm ready. And this comes from a completely different message. Like, I have you in my phone under a contact. I get a completely new message from your email address as an iMessage from iPhone. And so now on my phone text message screen, I have two separate message chains, both to you and from you, one with your contact info and one as an iMessage. So I have no idea what's going on with your phone right now. Long story.
I'm going to figure it out soon. Sorry about that.
No, it's fine. It's just funny. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's not connected to your number.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Anyway, it was just funny. I was having a panic attack. It's like, is his phone dead? Did someone kill him? What happened? You know, my mind goes to like the darkest places.
Oh, that's so funny, dude. Because I've had this problem with like basically everyone I communicate with this week.
Oh, really?
It's been like eating text messages, and I can't communicate with anyone properly. And everyone has been like really worried about me.
Like, where are you?
Okay? Where is he?
Like, your mom texted you, and you're like, oh no, it's green. What's going on? Are you dead? What's happening?
I've had to be like, I'm fine. It's okay.
But the problem is, you can't see their communication to respond that you're okay. You just have to kind of preempt it and be like, hey, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Because if you don't do that, then they have no idea. Like, they call you. Does calling you work? No?
No. I don't think it's connected to my number.
You're screwed, man. It's over now. So did you get a new SIM card?
I'm working on that this week. It's just been really busy.
Man, this is an interesting topic because you work in like a tech kind of, you know, your job is very technical. And you set up a lot of iPhones and iPads. You set up a lot of devices, right? In the Apple family, let's say, right? Because, you know, it's a tech kind of job. But it's funny because you don't really know what's going on with your phone. Like, despite your occupation. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I have a... I like, know names for things that happen, but sure. As far as the actual process, does anyone, like, really know?
No, and that's my point here, right? Like, I don't understand how phones work. Like, I get the whole, like, calling someone and it goes to a radio tower and da-da-da-da-da. But, like, the whole SIM card aspect, like, I don't know how that works at all. And I think my issue is whenever I try to upgrade my phone, I get this anxiety that what just happened to you is going to happen to me. You know what I mean? Where I'm just going to lose everything. No one will ever be able to communicate with me ever again. And I'll just be isolated, you know? Because I don't know how it works enough to, like, understand, like, oh, it'll be fine. You just have to do da-da-da-da-da. You
know? Yeah. And it's hard to know anything's wrong until it's, like, really wrong.
Until someone tells you it's wrong, but they can't tell you it's wrong because your phone isn't working.
Yeah.
So you got to text them. And then they're like, by the way, your phone's fucked up. FYI. Is that how you found out, I'm assuming, this week?
Yeah, more or less.
Texted a family member and they were like, hey, your phone is fucked up or something.
Yeah, I texted my sister and she was like, I think you have the wrong number. I was like, oh, no, this is not a good sign.
Luckily, your email, like, I got your text from an email and I recognized your email and I was like, okay, I know this.
Yeah, but... I mean, that's not, like, my email, though. That's a throwaway email. It's my email that I made it.
So
but it's a
this
throwaway
is, this is
email
a clever thing that you did. Oh, yeah, I see. It doesn't have your name in it.
No, it says, like, my screen name. My sister doesn't
know
what my
screen
name is.
I can see how your sister would be confused with this. Because, like, I thought it would be your name at Gmail, but no, it's just some throwaway thing. And you're like, and she'd be like, who the fuck is this? Yeah. Here's the funny thing, though. You were clever. Because when you texted me using this, you used our secret code word in the beginning. And so
that's
I knew
how you
it was
know.
You. I was like part of me in the beginning when I saw that, I was like, oh, this could be a weird bot. But then I read it and it had your code word in it. And I was like, oh, okay. I know who it is.
It's a very good thing that we have that. Everyone should develop those with everyone that they know.
They should. And like when we talked about on the show, like, I don't know, like a few episodes back. Like, we didn't realize that we had a code word until we had one, until we, like, needed it because Skype was being stupid.
Yeah.
But after that episode, I was thinking about it and how it's so easy to hack people these days.
Yeah.
And I really feel like you're right. I feel like everyone, every relationship you're in that is, like, valuable and, like, important, like a good friend or a spouse or a significant other family member, you should develop, like, a code word that only you guys know. So that when you, like, lose communication, you can verify that it's them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Even for, like, employers, there should be an in-company secret greeting that everyone has to use, and you're not allowed to share it. I mean, even where I work, I've had a situation where someone will register, like a hacker. They'll register for, like... They'll use someone's name that works where I work.
Or email or whatever.
Yeah, at gmail.com. Uh-huh. And they'll email one of our employees saying, hey, I'm on vacation right now. Mm-hmm. Can you send me $20 in iTunes gift cards?
Right, or whatever. And they'll be like, okay, because it has their name, but it's not them.
I mean, they'll be weirded out, but like, if your boss asks you for $20 in iTunes gift cards, you're probably going to do
it. You're going to do it. Yeah, absolutely. You don't get fired or anything.
Yeah. So you go in next week. He's like, you didn't fire me the iTunes gift card.
You're fired. Get out of here. And they're like, I didn't know it was you. I thought I could be a hacker. See, this is why you need the code words.
Yeah.
Man, you know what I realize as we've talked about? Because we talk about like security a lot on this podcast.
Yeah.
We could be like, I know we're never going to do it, but we could have our own like security consultancy firm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't know enough about tech. Well, you know about technology. I don't really know enough. But I feel like together we have really good ways of preventing phishing and stuff, and it's just by being smarter about how you have your organization set up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like code words.
The best way to be not taken advantage of is just to not be the weakest link.
Don't be dumb. You know what
I mean? It's a lot like house burglary. Like, if you have a small dogs are not going to stop a man from getting in your house, but it'll make it annoying. They'll pick someone else's house that isn't as annoying.
They'll think twice and be like, well, I don't want to deal with the dog. So I'll go to a house that doesn't have a dog. You know what I mean? It's like a deterrent, effectively. But we would be good security consultants, I feel like. We have so many of these like good ideas of like very simple things you can implement to make something more secure, like code words, for example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like we had like three or four more on other episodes. I don't even remember what they were. But
you could set up an automated code word. Like anytime someone sends an internal message, it just appends a secret word to the end of an email. Bang. Mm-hmm. Phishing is suddenly impossible.
And they have to, it can only do it if they're sending it from the location
of the
business. Yeah. No, you're right. And then you read and you're like, okay, got the code word. We're good.
He's legit. Mm-hmm.
It's weird that we don't talk about security in this way more. Maybe we do, and I don't realize it because I'm not plugged into the security community. But I feel like a lot of discussions on like security on the internet are talking about like technological solutions for security. Like we got three-factor authentication and a thumbprint reader and, you know, these special keys that you have on your computer that you can't delete from the blockchain or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and all these techniques of like using technology to make us more secure and more secure. The thing about hackers is they can always get around that no matter what, right? Like at the end of the day, it's just a matter of time before they figure out how to get around it.
Yeah.
But they can't get around you not being an idiot, like you being smart about how you utilize your, you know, network and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, they can't get around that. If you're smart enough, you'll be okay. You know,
simple communication strategies. They can't hack.
Like, yeah, like
you add that two-factor authentication, fingerprint, mm-hmm. stupid certificate verification. That's adding like 10 more steps, and each step has like an exploit.
Yeah, and they'll figure it out. And then at the end of the day, if they want access to your email, they'll get it. And then they'll email your boss and say, or you know, some person, and they'll get something that they want because they got your email. But if we have like a code word or some other system where every time you send an email there's like a social like step that the person that's receiving it has to verify that it's legit, then you're cutting them off before they, you know, you're outsmarting them effectively. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's also like easier and it's less of a pain in the ass for everyday people.
Yeah.
Like, it's just remembering two different passwords for every account, that's a huge pain in the ass.
Such a pain in the ass. But it's weird that we're getting to the point, technology, where security is getting really, really annoying. You know, like you have to do a lot. You have to jump through a lot of hoops to be secure these days.
Yeah.
And it, like, it's kind of frustrating. And I feel like we're going to reach a critical mass in society where a lot of people are going to be like, this isn't worth it. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, this is stupid. Like, everything will be on two-factor authentication. They'll all have different passwords. They'll lose track of all their accounts. And they'll just be like, screw it, I'm going to make one password. It's going to be password 12345. And then if hackers get to me, whatever, I don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, it's like, well, you know, that's bad, but you know, maybe we should approach this in different ways than making more layers for the hackers to just find way to get through. But I don't know.
It's my opinion, so I guess. I think like the takeaway is that we just need to start our own security consultancy.
I really do think we can do that. Like, I think there's a market for it because there's plenty of consultancies for like, oh, I think you should have this kind of firewall and this kind of security for your email and this kind of technical solutions. Our consultancy would be all about preventing social engineering. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it would be countering that aspect of security. And, like, yeah, you probably still want the technical solutions, but, like, at the end of the day, we are the last line of defense, you know? If your employees are smart enough to know that they're about to get phished by somebody, then it won't happen. You know what I mean? So that's where we come in, you know? Yeah.
We're that small dog that makes the burglar just be like, it isn't worth it. He's going to bark a lot.
That's our slogan. We're the small dog. See, the big security firms, they're the bulldog, right?
Yes.
But if the house is fancy enough, the burglar's just going to tranquilize the bulldog.
Yeah.
But I don't know where I'm going.
Awesome analogy.
I don't know where I'm going with this analogy. Maybe they're not a dog. Maybe they're the security system. Yeah, they're the security system, and I don't know. It's fine. We're the small dog.
It doesn't make any sense.
That's the name of the firm, Small Dog Security.
Yeah.
There it is.
And the logo is, it's like a chihuahua wearing, what, do you know one of those feather scarves?
Yes, yes, and it's barking.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm imagining.
It's perfect. I feel like there's a market for this. I really do. And the cool thing about consultancy that nobody tells you is, and this kind of weirds me out once I realized it, anybody can be a consultant. Yeah. And you don't have to know anything about anything. No. You know what I mean? Like, you really don't. Like, what are your qualifications? Well, I own this consultancy firm. Wow.
That's pretty cool, right?
That's impressive. You must have needed credentials to open it. It's like, oh yeah, lots of them. I'm good at it. You know? Like, it's weird, consultancy. I have a friend, I'm not going to name them, but I went to high school with them. And they have this, they're part of this business now. And I have no idea what this business does. But they're a consultancy business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, he went to school for something completely unrelated, like philosophy or something. And now he works in this consultancy firm about, and the business is about how they can help other businesses be better at being businesses, right?
Yeah.
And I have no idea how his qualifications link up with being a business consultant, you know? Because he's never been an owner of a business before. You know what I mean? So it's like, where are you getting this advice from? You know what I mean? You're just like pulling it out of your ass or something?
And why are people paying you? Yeah, like, what do you get? What is like, the product?
Yeah, like, how did you do that? So, like, if they can do that, surely we can do a security consultancy, you know? Because yeah. I feel like I have both of us have qualifications that at least lend to it, you know?
Yeah.
This is like, oh, I got a degree in philosophy. I'm going to be a business growth consultant. It's like, well, what's your experience with business growth? It's like, well, nothing, but I'm a part of this company now. It's like, what? That doesn't make any sense.
I've got a couple PowerPoints that have like pyramids with numbers on them.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like if you have PowerPoints with pyramids and a fancy web 2.0 website, you're golden, right? You're in, you know, write an article on medium.com and then you've got it, you know? So we just have to fake it a little until we make it, basically, with small dog security.
Yeah. And we can't give it names like, oh, this is the special greeting. There has to be a cool security term for what we're
doing. Like, we can't use code word and we can't use special greeting.
Yeah.
It would need to be, we should do it like a physics term. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like your quark, you know?
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know what that means.
But this is your nucleus key.
Your nuclei key, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like the nucleus of your security is your code word.
Yes.
So it's like your nucleus key. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And then there are things surrounding the nucleus. Like this is your electron orbital.
And what is that?
I don't know. We have to come up with a name first, though, and then figure out what it means.
So the way the consultancy business works is we come up with a name for stuff, don't know what they are yet, and then we work backwards and figure out what exactly they are for, right?
I'm pretty sure that's how every consultancy works.
I'm pretty sure, too. They, like, come up with the fluff, and they're like, what is this? Like, I don't know. We'll figure it out later when we get investors. So our nucleus is the code word. The electron is maybe like, in physics, in the nucleus, there's like covalent bonding, right?
Oh, that's a cool word. I love that one.
So that's going to be something. Each week, one of your employees gets with another employee, and they become a covalent bond.
Okay.
And they have their own individual security keys with each other, so they like back up what the other person does.
Okay.
Like security-wise. So, like, you know on, like, a nuclear vessel, like a sub?
Like a submarine?
How both the captains have to turn, or not, like, the captain and first mate have to turn the nuke key at the same time?
Yeah.
It's like that.
Okay. Oh. So, you know, if a client messages one of them, uh-huh. or, like, someone who's maybe not a client, maybe a hacker, messages one of them asking for sensitive data,
yeah.
You have to check with your covalent bond member first.
And then he has to turn the key. Yeah. Or she has to turn the key.
And there's real keys.
Of course.
We make a peripheral.
Oh, yes. They're on your desk. Oh, my God. We could charge for the keys, too.
Yes.
Like, it's like $100 a key or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? and we make it look really cool, and we get the guy who designed, like, the iPhone to design the industrial design
of the
key.
No. We need to get a blacksmith to design the keys.
Yes.
The whole thing about small dog security is we're moving away from technology.
If it's you, like, old school now.
If you make it a digital key, no, the hacker's going to get that.
You're right.
If you make it a stupid skeleton key that would work in a haunted house, you can't hack that.
So then how does the key even work with email anymore, though, if it's not electronic?
You have to make, like, a lock device, too, that you plug into your USB port in your computer. And it looks like an old-fashioned, like, haunted house door.
Yeah.
Or something.
It's perfect. And then you have to turn it at the same time. And then it opens like a box. And then you hit, like, a button or something. And that's how...
Yeah.
That's how you... But we make the keys look really cool.
Yeah.
And, oh, every employee, like, this is, like, the gold package. Normally, we just give them a regular skeleton key. But if they're, like, really go out of their way, like, with the gold package, we can give individually designed keys to each employee that gets one.
So that's way more secure.
It's like, it is, because they're, like, unique keys. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they, like, look different. They have, like, designs. And you can, like, customize them.
You put birthstones on them? Like, ooh, I got an amethyst on mine.
I'm a cat. I've got, yeah. And you got, like, the zodiac sign on it, like, for your birthday or something. You know? It'll be good. And this is like a key fob. They have to hold it on. They have to hold onto it every day. So it's, like, just attached to their belt.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know. I think this is good. Like, with the key, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's solid. Like, so this is like the passcode.
Yeah. So we got nucleus and then covalent bonds. And I think we need to move away from physics. Mm-hmm. So, like, with the keys, you inspired me, because it's, like, old school, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking something vaguely mystical, but, like, not that mystical. So I'm thinking something like constellation, you know, the word constellation.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good, I don't know if this makes any sense.
Your constellation could be your overall security map, and all the security pieces fit into it.
Like, how you are related to all the other people in your company group, kind of thing. And that's, like, your security constellation. And you need to be aware of that at all times. You know what I mean? And it can change, because different people can move different parts of the company. You know what I mean? So it, like, maps out how you can have a breach, right? Because it's like, well, if this guy gets this and sends it to this guy and sends it to this guy and sends it to this guy's insecure. He's, like, the weak link in the constellation. You know what I mean? He's the fading star. And he could, you see what I'm saying?
I do.
Because one broken link, one weak link can just ruin the whole thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, you would have, so each department in the company is its constellation in the whole sky map, right? So over here in marketing, they're the Sagittarius.
Your security sky map.
Yeah. Yes. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no.
Everybody in marketing is a star on the horse or whatever Sagittarius.
You pick a constellation per, like, division, which is cool too, because then it's like marketing's got Sagittarius or whatever, you know. Yeah.
So and then it in addition to, like, every individual being a star, there's also black holes, and those show where your potential security vulnerabilities are.
Oh, your security black holes. And this is something we do when you first sign on to be part of Small Dog Security. We make this map. Like, this is the first, this is kind of our initial assessment of your security, like, score, basically. And we give you a score, too, in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know.
And we give you a physical map, too, with, like, burned edges that you can put
like
in a frame.
It's like a pirate's map. It's like a treasure map. And every time something changes in the hierarchy of your company, we have to print a new one because people have moved around. And they cost, like, $1,000 per map, so... That's an important part of... You have to keep it up to date. You know what I mean?
I don't know how this would help security at all, but if you put a star map in every meeting room, and then you gave people, like, proximity devices...
Mm-hmm. Wait, what do you mean?
Like, a device that just shows where you are in the building.
Oh, yeah.
So if you walk into the conference room, your light on the star map will light up.
Oh, shit! I don't know how that helps either, but that is so cool.
Yeah.
Because then you realize it's like at a glance is like, wow, so many people in this room are, like, really important to the security of this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, if, like, it's kind of cool because, like, you know the hit by a bus theory in, like, not theory, in business? Like, if someone got hit by a bus, who could do that job tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And, like, if everyone in this room, like, got sick, like, you see, like, this hole in the security, basically. You see what
yeah.
I'm saying?
It would be a good illustration.
Yeah. That's like a part of the platinum package too. Like, you don't have to do that, but that's an extra thing. But I feel like if you're a Silicon Valley company that's a startup that likes dumb ass stuff like this, you're buying the whole shebang.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, it might not make it more secure practically, but it gets the pitch is that it gets people thinking about these things.
Security. And thinking about it, that's half the battle, really.
Yeah.
You know? And that's our elevator pitch, you know. Like, it might not make you more secure. But everyone'll be thinking about it a lot. I love how that's the pitch. It might not do anything, but it'll get people thinking about it. And people will, like, I would be so excited if my company did this, even if it didn't do shit, because I get a key and I get, like, a covalent bond buddy. Like, the whole thing sounds really cool.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It goes beyond security for sure. It's also, like, improving
team building.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe you have to go out to lunch with your covalent bond, like, once a month or something.
I feel like that's a lot. That's a lot to ask.
That is.
What if you get someone bad?
That's true. Maybe you don't want to go out to lunch with your covalent bond. Maybe you go out to lunch once in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you want to go out more, you can. But this is one night to, like, get to know them.
Yeah.
You know, but you can go on, like, a corporate retreat with your Constellation group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We can provide, like, a package for that. You know what I mean? We can be, like, a middleman between the corporate retreat companies.
Oh, and we could have our own haunted house out in Wisconsin that they can come to.
Yes. You have to use your keys.
That's the only way to get in.
To open the doors.
And we set up a haunted mystery for them in the hotel using all the security devices that they purchased.
They have to solve.
Yes.
And if they solve it, they get a discount on next month's expenses.
Yes. We could do this. You get a cheap mansion. It's like where they tested nukes or something. You know what I mean? Like some cheap property.
Yeah. Out in the middle of nowhere. Fly your whole team out there. Let them do a haunted house. It's team building and security, not like learning all at the same time.
That could be the employee training exercise for learning how to use the new devices you're going to implement.
The haunted house. And everyone in the company would be super stoked because it's not like training. It's like, oh, we get to do a haunted house solving puzzle room thing.
And we would hire, like, adversarial people to, like, try to hack them in the haunted house.
Ghosts that are hacking in or whatever. Yeah.
Me and you would dress up as ghosts.
Yes, it's just us. We're the founders of the company, but we're doing it. We're the ones that would do it. Which I would totally do. That sounds a lot of fun.
That sounds cool.
Man, I want to make this real company. As ridiculous as it sounds, I think it actually could work.
Parts, yeah.
Parts of it. Because there's some dumb ideas in Silicon Valley. But people love dumb ideas sometimes, you know?
Yeah, as long as it's fun, it doesn't matter if it's dumb.
It's true. Like, at the end of the day, a CEO from a startup might just do this because they're like, this isn't going to work, but it sounds so fun, I don't even care. You know what I mean?
Like, as long as we can pitch it convincingly to his finance team,
right?
That it might work a little bit, he'll be like, please, guys, can we please do this? They have a haunted house.
And the finance is like, I don't get it. And then we pitch it in our, like, really good bullshit way. Yeah. And they're like, okay, I can see it. And then the CEO is like, yes!
I'm not going to do anything, but...
And he, like, knows that, but he, like, doesn't care. He wants a cool key. He wants to go to the haunted house. He wants to have constellations and shit, you know.
Oh, here's how you do sales. You have to make personalized things for all the senior leadership.
Okay.
That's how you really sell it.
What, senior leadership of the company that you're securing, or...?
Yeah, the vice president, the president, CEO, corporate finance officer, whatever, you have to make them better versions of everything than everybody else gets.
Oh.
Yeah, you, like, convince them they're important, and they get personalized cool things.
And then they're like, oh, we got to do this because I get this personalized cool thing if we sign up for this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Because then they'll all get into a room. The decision makers that'll decide if this is something the company wants to do are all going to get into a room, and they're like, I really want that cool personalized thing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say yes to this.
Maybe we could – you remember even Jillian, right? You know the meeting rooms in that where they have,
oh, you mean like the obelisk things?
Yeah, the cool obelisk things. Oh, maybe we could give them like robes and obelisks or something.
Yes. We like design their meeting room.
Yeah.
And they all have those cool robe things. Yeah. And it's like really cool looking.
Yeah. They have a secret name for like the leadership people. It's like the Order of Six or something.
we come up with it on an individual team by team basis.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Company by company, we come up with their own thing depending on the size of the leadership team. And the meeting room for leadership can only be accessed with one of their keys.
Yeah.
Right? So like not anyone can just go in. And it's like really secretive room. Like it's really dark in there. No one can see.
Yeah, for some reason.
It's more mysterious that way. Yeah.
They have to speak like a secret, like phrase when they enter the door or something. Yes.
Or it won't open. And so all the other employees are like, oh man, that must be important.
Yeah.
And then they want to be part of the leadership team. People would stay at the company just so they could become leaders, so they could see what's in the leadership room.
Yeah. You have, like, a mysterious room, and every once in a while, senior leadership walks up to the door and is like, the bird of Hermes is my name, eating my wings to make me tame, or something crazy.
And then it's, like, opens, and it's like,
oh, it's dark.
And they just, like, walk in.
Yeah.
And then no one knows what goes on. See, this is a great idea.
It is.
Oh, man, we burned through 30 minutes on small dog security. I feel like small dog isn't the best name, but, you know, it's fine.
Yeah,
we'll get there. We'll get something better later.
I have a bunch of trivia questions. If you want to do like a couple,
yeah, let's go.
I found this website that has all Halloween trivia, and I think some of them are wrong.
That's great.
So,
oh yeah, perfect. Halloween is tomorrow. We forgot. We go 30 minutes of the show without even saying that, which is terrible. But Halloween is tomorrow. Are you doing anything fun for Halloween?
Yeah, I'm going to some like bar for trivia with some people I know.
Nice.
And I'm going as Picard.
Oh, from Star Trek.
Yep.
That's cool. It's very cool. I'm going to someone's house to hand out candy to kids.
Are you going to dress up? Did you make happen your Thor idea?
I did. I bought stuff.
That's awesome.
So I'm going to be Fat Thor from Avengers Endgame. And the good thing about this costume is I went to Target, and I didn't go to the Halloween section. I went to the men's clothing section. And I bought a cardigan and sweatpants and a Henley t-shirt and sunglasses. And those are all things I'd wear in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Not in public, but in my house. So the costume really is just me on like a lazy day with like some Thor stuff. You know what I mean? So it kind of works. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I had an
idea. It's not something I'm going to buy and then throw away.
Yeah. I had an idea for you for the hammer. You could take just like a paper box from a 12 pack of White Claw or something and just tape it with duct tape.
You're right.
And put it on a cardboard tube.
And there it is. It would be even better if I didn't like paint over the White Claw part. Like it just says White Claw on the hammer or whatever. That'd be good. Anyway, so that's what I'm doing for Halloween. But happy Halloween, everyone, on this, the eve of Halloween, right? Mm-hmm. Or is it, All Hallows Eve. I don't know how that works. What's trivia? Let's go.
All right, all your questions are about Halloween.
It's exciting.
Your first question is, which immigrants came to America and thought that pumpkins were easy to carve on than potatoes, and that's exactly how it's worded it.
Wow, this is a great website. I can tell right now. Is this like HalloweenTrivia.com or something like that?
I think it was like a .info, maybe.
Oh, even better. Okay. Which immigrants came and decided pumpkins were the right thing to carve.
Yeah, instead of potatoes.
Instead of potatoes. That's an important distinction.
Is it A, Italian immigrants? God. B, French immigrants?
Oh, God.
C, English immigrants? Or D, Irish immigrants?
I feel like Irish people would use potatoes. That's really racist, but I feel like they would.
Because that's what they did in Ireland, right? You carve potato jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah. Potato jack-o'-lanterns. I feel like carving pumpkins is above the Italians and French people. They're like, no. It's not. That's not what we want. I feel like I'm leaning English, but I want to use a lifeline. I did not choose one, did I? Can I choose one now?
Sure.
Am I allowed? Mm-hmm. I would like to use a 50-50.
All right.
Because I don't even know what the one to Monty Hall would be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's either French immigrants or Irish immigrants.
I feel like it's still not Irish because of the potato thing. That sounds so wrong of me. But you see where I'm going with this?
I know exactly what you're saying. But
they love potatoes.
Keep in mind where I got this.
They, like, love potatoes over there. Like, coming to America and carving in a potato, they'd probably be like, we're wasting a good potato! Or whatever. For the carving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? French people are like, whatever, potatoes. Who cares about potatoes? But who cares about... Oh, maybe that's why Irish people would do it, though. Because they don't want to waste potatoes. So they're going to carve it in a pumpkin instead.
Right.
Okay. Okay, now I'm kind of turning it around. Because at first I was like, they love potatoes, they'd carve potatoes, but they're going to waste potatoes by carving them that they wouldn't eat. And they love potatoes, so they'd use a pumpkin instead of potato.
Mm-hmm.
And French people don't care about potatoes or pumpkins, so they probably don't have any horse in the race. So I'm going to go...
I like your logic.
Okay, I'm going to go with Ireland, final answer, Irish people.
That's correct, according to this website.
Yes! So I bet the logic is sound. They came over... Someone recommended carving in potatoes, and they're like, no. We're going to use those potatoes for food. We'll use pumpkins, this fruit that nobody likes, for carving. You know what I mean?
It makes sense.
Yeah. Perfect.
Let's do one more.
Okay.
One more.
Let's go.
Next question. Where did bobbing for apples originate?
Okay.
Is it A, England, B, Africa, okay. C, the Native Americans, or D, ancient Rome?
That's hard. It could be any of them. I feel like this is something English people would do. Because it's so stupid.
Yeah.
That seems mean of me. But it also seems like something ancient Rome would do. Like in a dumb... Like they're at the baths, right? And there's like a big... pool, like there's a big bathtub,
mm-hmm.
and someone dumps a bunch of apples in it, and they're like, bob for apples, and then they like go in and they do it, you know.
That's a hilarious thing. Doesn't to that imagine sound
like, yeah. A Roman thing to do, you know.
Yeah, like some kind of prank, like someone just runs in, dumps their apples in their bath, yeah.
And then they bob for them.
Mm-hmm.
Romans had a very like leisurely lifestyle, you know what I mean? You know, like they were at the baths. And they walked around in their robes talking about philosophy. And they, like, you know, they governmented. And, you know, they just kind of leisurely, you know, like the nobles of Rome, right? They kind of had a leisurely lifestyle. So bobbing for apples seems like something you do in that kind of leisurely lifestyle. England, it's like, no, they're dying of the plague and stuff. So they're not going to have time to bob for apples. And Africa seems like something they wouldn't waste their time on. You know, they're busy doing other things.
Yeah.
And then Native Americans, I don't know, maybe they could bob for apples, but I mean, apples are something you find in North America. I don't even know if they have apples in Rome. I mean, they do now, but like back in the day.
Yeah.
You know?
Ancient
Rome.
What do you think? Just take a guess. Right. This is probably wrong anyway.
I'm going with Rome. Final answer.
That's awesome. It's actually ancient Rome. That's what really? This website
yes!
says.
This wrong website. I think my logic might be sound on this. I mean, probably not. But I can see the bathhouse apple kind of bit. You know. Anyway. Oh, speaking of this, I had this would you rather question that was brought up to me like weeks ago, and I wanted to go do it on the show, but I never had a chance. But now's the perfect time because we just talked about ancient Rome. Would you rather live in ancient times, like pre-modern era, like BC, basically? Ancient times. And we're talking ancient Rome, ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, you know, pick one, whatever. Mm-hmm. Ancient times, or live during the Crusades in the, you know, 9th, 8th, 10th, 11th century, medieval Europe, you know.
I would pick ancient times.
You would pick ancient times? Why is that?
I think the era the Crusades are in, I'm not a history person, but I think that was called the Dark Ages.
Yeah, it definitely was.
I think things weren't good then.
That's true, they weren't good. But, you know, like, technology's a little better then. They have some more stuff, you know. Like, the people that live probably live a little longer, but you have a lot higher chance of dying young. So, you know, you got that going for you. But you're right. In the ancient Rome, you're probably, you know, your likelihood of having a quality life is probably better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So. I don't know this, but I feel like the chances of you being a slave in ancient Rome are higher.
That's probably true.
Yeah, or just like some kind of living a life of servitude to someone else.
Yeah.
Whereas the Crusades, maybe you can make your own thing through the military or something.
But you're going to die, probably.
It just seems like you could... The chances of you dying a horrible death are much higher during the Crusades.
Because you're either going in the military or there's like the plague happening and you're going to die of that or you starve or whatever. In Rome, you might be a slave, or in Greece or in Egypt. But you probably have, like, it's not a good life, but you might have an okay one.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, Crusades, they're killing a lot of people for being heretics, and I don't want to see that.
You don't want to be a part of that.
I don't want to, yeah.
So, which place would you do? If you went to ancient times, what ancient civilization would you want to live in? You have a lot of choices here. You can do ancient Rome, ancient Greece, ancient Egypt, ancient China, ancient South America, you know what I mean? There's a lot of ancient civilizations that you could do.
Yeah. Rome seems fun, right? We were just talking about how you know they're
very
pretty
leisurely
chill.
Lifestyle.
Hey,
know?
They bob for apples and
if you're born in the right place, right? Like yeah. That's important, right? You need to be born in the right place to be the bob for apples guy. Otherwise, you're gonna be like random person that's making calfskin leather for the soldiers your whole life or whatever, you know.
Which doesn't sound that bad either.
True.
To be honest,
that's true. But, I mean, Rome's got running water, you know? Like, that's a game changer right there.
Yeah.
You know? Like, sometimes I feel like, this is a weird thought, and I don't know if this is true, but sometimes I feel like Rome was kind of peak human civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not really, because obviously they had, like, slaves and, like, some people had it kind of rough, you know,
yeah.
In Rome. But, like, all the other stuff, like, they did it pretty well. They had a big empire, and the downfall of Rome wasn't that their subjects were going to be like, let's overthrow Rome. It was outside invaders that took the city, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And got them. So, like, everyone that was, like, conquered by Rome... They got conquered, and most of them were like, this is pretty good. I'm okay with this. Like, pretty happy with this. You know what I mean? And, like, to me, that tells me that, like, it probably was all right. Meanwhile, today, if someone conquers something, immediately people uprise and try to murder everyone, you know?
Yeah.
But then they did that a little, and then they're like, yeah, you know, it's fine. We're good. I mean, this is good. This is cool. I'm happy with this.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know a lot about ancient history, but I know that Rome grew very fast, very quickly. Mm-hmm. And I think in order to do that, you have to have people that are very proud of their country.
Oh, yeah.
There has to be like a good vibe. That's not a good way to describe
it. No, a vibe. Yeah, a national vibe.
Yeah. And that's something that I've always been envious of with like ancient civilizations and stuff, because I don't have a very good national national vibe, right?
I don't have a good national vibe.
Not to
either.
Be political or whatever.
No, no, you're right. I don't think most people right now have a very good national
but
vibe.
But I'm envious right of now. Feeling something like that. Like,
yeah, no, I know.
Also during, you know, the 1960s when we went to the moon and, like, people were feeling yeah. really good. Like, wow, look at all this cool shit we did.
Yeah. I mean, other than Vietnam. But other than that, we had yeah. a pretty good national vibe during those times, you know. The 50s was a very strong national vibe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think that era is a little, like, weird. We're a little nostalgic for it too much. But, you know, we had a good national vibe. Right now, there's, like, no national vibe. Like,
it doesn't feel good.
I don't even know, I don't even know if I could describe it, because I don't even know if it exists anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not a national vibe. It's a national... Like, if you're into the national vibe, it's not a vibe. It's like a... It's...
It should feel dirty if you are.
It's bad. It's like a national... I don't know. I don't even know the word. It's like, you know? It's that national, you know? It's not a vibe. You're not vibing off of the nation. You're doing something else.
Yeah.
You know? And everyone else does not have a vibe. They're like anti-national vibe. But in Rome, yeah, it was definitely more of a vibe. Like, yeah, I like it here. It's cool. It's cool, you know?
Feels good to be Roman. I'm proud of
maybe
this.
Maybe that's completely a lie because we don't really know. And yeah. we might be looking back, but I don't know. That's how I feel. So sometimes I like dream about like, what would it be like if I lived in ancient times, you know, like do. And I'm like, all right, it'd probably be worse than my life now, but I might be more, satisfied is the wrong word, fulfilled, you know,
yeah.
as a person.
I think about that all the time. Yeah.
Ancient times, because it's simpler. You're around people more often because you have to be, but not in like a bad way, in like a everywhere is a grocery store kind of way, if that makes sense. Like, it's just how it is.
Yeah.
You can still have alone time, but it's like you're around people more, you know, and I don't know, like everyone has kind of one job that you do. And if you did that, then you are fulfilled probably. Whereas now it's like, there's not really any guidance, you know, to your life. Not that there was guidance back then, but like, if you're a soldier, you're a soldier. And if you're a shoemaker, you're a shoemaker, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
now it's like, you can be whatever you want, but it might be the wrong choice. And good luck. And also, there's no national vibe. So you're not doing it for your country. You're doing it for yourself and failing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so.
I do know what you mean.
I don't know. I just feel like sometimes if I lived in ancient times, I might be more fulfilled as a person. I don't know if I'd be as happy, but I feel like I'd be more fulfilled, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing to think about.
When I was younger, I used to daydream about joining the military. I don't know if this is weird to do, but some parts of that felt good. Other parts, the parts that felt bad outweighed the parts that felt
I agree. But, like, I think the thing with that is, like, you're part of a community.
There's something there, though.
Yeah. And you have a purpose, you know what I mean? Like, you give yourself a purpose and you give yourself a community. And at the end of the day, as human beings, those are two integral things to being happy and being fulfilled. Like, a goal and people that can help you achieve that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really hard to come by. Like, individually, like, as it is now, you know, like, really hard. And I think that's why a national vibe, like Rome, is so cool, because it's like, if you don't have a personal dream, you can get, like, they'll give you one, and then you can be proud of it when you accomplish it, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to make the best shoes for the Roman soldiers in the world, you know what I mean? Like, and you can do that, and you can be that guy, you know?
Yeah. My idea of Rome, too, is... I've been to Rome. It's the only other... I've been to Italy, rather, and I saw where Rome used to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Only other foreign country I've ever been to. But going there, you can still see today that they had fantastic art everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Like, they knew what they were doing.
If I go walk down the street for 10 miles where I live, it's... Like,
it's nothing.
Yikes, dude. It's not
there's
a good,
nothing
pretty
there.
Picture.
You're in Rome, you go out, and you're like, there's a beautiful statue here, there's a beautiful statue there. There's like a... like, it's everywhere, you know? I think it was smaller than, you know, normal cities, but, like, it was big for what it was back in the day, and it was like... You know, back then, it was just like... I don't know. It just sounds really nice to be around that all the time. You know, those inspiring things. We might be hyping this up a little too much, I think.
Probably.
Maybe not. I've been to Rome, too, and it's very pretty. And I don't know. Anyway, so we'd both live in ancient times instead of the Crusades.
For sure.
That was my would-you-rather question.
You know, Philip K. Dick had a theory, and this was towards the end of his life when he was crazy. That time stopped in ancient Rome, and that we're still living in Roman times.
Holy shit, how would that even work?
I don't know. He doesn't explain it very well.
Are we in like a VR thing or something?
I think the words he used were in a black fortress. I don't know what that means, but...
Ooh, that's a cool phrase, though.
Yeah.
Remember last week we were talking about cool phrases?
Yeah.
That, like, cue up weird images? That just did that to me. Like, we're in a black fortress and we can't see.
Yeah, the other thing he says a lot in his little weird... crazy book he wrote is the empire never ended. So I guess the theory with that is that, you know, Roman aristocracy somehow still passed into modern day or whatever.
I don't know how that would work, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
The black fortress.
What's that make you think of?
It makes me think of like, okay, like a black fortress, but it's like, it's not like black, like a stone black. It's like black, like a void black. You know what I mean? Like it's emptiness, you know what I mean? And there's a void, and there's a black fortress in the void, and you can only see it like an outline of, like the outline of the fortress is kind of lit, but not really, like just enough to get the outline. And it's, I'm imagining, this is going to sound really dumb. You know in St. Augustine, the hell is it called? The fortress there?
Yeah, the fort.
The hell is it called? You know what I'm talking about? The Spanish fort?
I think it's just called the fort. I don't know. It probably has a cooler
name. I imagine that shape as the fortress, right? And I imagine all the humans inside that fortress. And they all have like little rooms. And the rooms are all black. And they're like laying down. And above them is a ceiling. And on the ceiling is projected the life that we live now. And that's,
you've got like
the Matrix, but like an ancient Roman version.
Yeah, I was just about to say you've got like a Plato Allegory of the Cave thing.
Yeah, Allegory of the Cave kind of deal. Exactly. But in the Black Fortress.
Yeah.
You know, and to escape the Black Fortress is to escape ancient Rome and to live in the real world.
Yeah. And you know what? The people who rule the world, they live outside the Black Fortress.
Oh,
you know what? They can't see inside though because it's too black. So if we're going to overthrow them, we have to come up with a plan in the fortress or something.
Inside the fortress somehow. Yeah. We have to communicate with each other in the fortress. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it'd be like the Matrix, but not with computers. It would be like you're sending some other signal to the other people in the fortress. I don't know. It sounds cool, you know? Yeah, I don't know how it would work. I just have this, like, image of this in my head for some reason, you know.
It would make a cool album cover. I can picture what you're thinking of.
Ooh, yeah. The Black Fortress. Yeah, it would make a really cool.
Maybe that's a better, like, company name for Small Dog, because Black Fortress.
Oh, security! Yes! Oh, my God. That is it. You're right. Black Fortress Security sounds dope as hell. Doesn't that sound cool?
That sounds really cool.
Oh my god.
And
then all the keys and stuff, they're like black. They're like onyx or whatever. Yeah.
Or like Damascus. Oh, they're all layered and stuff.
Oh yeah.
So the logo, for anyone who hasn't been to St. Augustine, Fortress just like Security. Imagine like a black rook in a black circle with like a tiny outline.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So it's like the logo is like, it's like kind of star shaped a little, sort of, but like it's really black, so it's hard to like make it out. But like it's there, the outline is there.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, Black Fortress Security is a great security company name, like super good. Man, I'm sad we didn't think of that sooner, but it's fine. We figured it out. I'm gonna go copyright that name.
Do you want to do another trivia question?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Name the first person who made a Jack-O-Lantern.
Name him? Her?
Or her, yeah.
Okay.
Is it A, Christopher Columbus? Is it B, John Carver?
John Carver?
Yeah.
Like Carver carving the land. Oh my God.
Maybe.
Right, keep going.
Is it C, George Washington? Shut the fuck up. Or is it D, Jack?
Just Jack?
Just Jack.
It's not Jack. There's no last name there.
It's just Jack.
This is the dumbest question you've ever asked me. I feel like it's gotta be John Carver because Christopher Columbus sure as hell didn't carve the first jack-o'-lantern.
He might have.
I mean, neither did George Washington, right? Like, they better not have carved the first jack-o'-lantern. Like, why would they have done that? It doesn't make any sense. I want it to be Christopher Columbus. Like, he gets here on the knee of the pin in the Santa Maria or whatever the hell. He meets the Native Americans. They give him a pumpkin. And he's like, I'm going to carve this thing into a face. And then he does. And he shows it to the Native Americans. They're like, what the hell? You just wasted a perfectly good pumpkin. You idiot. You know?
I love that story.
That's it. That's the one. No. Christopher Columbus, John Carver, George Washington, or Jack.
Or Jack.
Maybe Jack just didn't have a name, and that's why it's called Jack-O-Lantern. Right?
Maybe that is his name. Jack. Maybe he's Irish. O-Lantern. Maybe.
You should have. Oh, I know Jack is the made-up one. You should have made Jack's name Jack-O-Lantern. But what, like an O, like an Irish yeah. O, like O'Leary,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Jack-O-Lantern, like I'm the Irishman who carved the pumpkin for the first time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it just happens to be that O-Lantern also means O-Lantern, like you're making a lit pumpkin.
That could be a real name. Lantern could be Irish for
no, I'm
for,
saying,
for Lantern.
You might have tricked me if you did that. Because when I was a kid, I had this joke. It was like a terrible joke. When I was 12, anytime someone asked me like, oh, what is that? Who invented that? Like, there's this part of school where we learned who invented things. Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, Edison invented the light bulb and blah, 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 blah. And I would have this joke where I would just say that like, hey, did you know who invented the lawnmower? And they're like, no. And I'd be like, John Lawnmower. I would just, like, use the name of the invention and then append, like, John or Jerry or something to the beginning. And, like, that would be the name of everything. Like, who invented the computer? Oh, Charles Computer. You know, he was named after Charles Computer.
That's a good joke. Really, I like it.
It's a really terrible joke, but it was very amusing when I was 12. So Jack-O-Lantern is like, oh, yeah, Jack-O-Lantern invented the Jack-O-Lantern because it's named after
duh.
Him. I'm going to go with, I wish I could go with Christopher Columbus, but I'm going to go with John Carver. Although that sounds weird because it's like Carver, but it can't be Christopher Columbus. John Carver, final answer.
It is not John Carver.
Are you serious?
Do you want to take a second guess?
It's not John Carver.
No.
Oh my God. Is it Christopher Columbus?
Is that your final answer?
No.
Keep in mind where I got this question, like...
Maybe it is Jack, and they just don't have a last name. That doesn't make sense, though. Why would they not know their last name? Christopher Columbus. Christopher Columbus. Final answer. I feel like my story could be true. Christopher Columbus.
It's not
Christopher Columbus. Damn it! Is it Jack? Is it
Do you want to do
no,
one more?
No. Yeah, I'm doing one.
Okay.
I feel like it could be Jack. Why would George Washington carve a pumpkin? Let me create a storyline in my brain so that I could justify this.
Okay.
It's the first Halloween of a new nation, right? This is terrible already.
I love this story.
Did we even celebrate Halloween back in that time?
He invented Halloween, too.
Whoever carved the jack-o'-lantern. Okay. Oh, it's the first October. On a new nation, the first fall.
Yeah.
And George Washington is in office. And he's like, you know, and I don't know. But Thanksgiving wasn't really a thing yet. Because that wasn't until like the 1800s or 1900s since we did that.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, we really need a holiday before Christmas. Because we want to celebrate the new country that we have. You know, they won the war in like July or something. I don't remember when, but it's fine. And they're like, oh, we need to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, we need a thing in October. So he decides, he looks up all this history about All Hallows Eve and Dia de los Muertos and, you know, all the celebrations that go on around at the end of October.
I think it's the fall equinox, too. He could
in the equinox. That, yeah. And he, like, combines, because he was a smart guy, and he combines it all into Halloween. And he decides that they need some kind of symbol for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And something that you could only do in America. And in America, we have these things called pumpkins that they just don't have in the rest of the world. I don't think. I mean, I don't know if that's true. But I'm going to assume for the sake of the story they do. And so he gets Betsy Ross to come up with... Because she made the flag.
Right. She's an artist.
To come up with this new thing for Halloween that's representative with a pumpkin. And she doesn't carve it, but she like sketches it out on like a napkin or something. And George Washington goes up, you know, in the Rose Garden in Washington, D.C. Actually, I don't think he was there yet. But he goes up and he shows the world a pumpkin. And live, in front of an audience, he carves the first jack-o'-lantern. And everyone applauds and they're like, amazing, you know. And that's the story of the first jack-o'-lantern.
I mean, that is the story of the first jack-o'-lantern.
And he calls it the jack-o'-lantern because the Union Jack is the British flag. And the jack-o'-lantern he carved was very, like, grotesque and ugly.
Ooh.
So it was, like, making fun of British people. And he gave them really bad teeth.
Yeah, that's why, you know, that is why jack-o'-lanterns have messed up teeth.
This checks out. I'm just saying. So George Washington, final answer.
It's not him.
So it's Jack? That's, it's really just it's, Jack?
This website just said Jack. They literally took your joke about Steve Lawnmower and just made a trivia question about it.
It's John Lawnmower, thank you very much. This just reminds me of that one question, like, who is the first person that sang or whatever? And it was like Ernesto Claver or something like that. Do you remember that question?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I can't believe I got that wrong. Three times, no less, I got it wrong. Do you want to do a Reddit question really fast here?
Sure. Do you have one?
Not really.
I have a would you rather we can do from last week.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Would you rather yeah they are very rude or no they are insensitive?
Rude. I prefer rude people over insensitive people, and the reason is because I feel like rude people, I know where they're coming from. You know what I mean? Like, they're a known quantity, mm-hmm. right? They're rude. Insensitive people, they're never thinking about what they're doing. And that bothers me because they're, like, ignorant about how they make you feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does.
So it's like, rude person is rude. I don't like rude people. But I know that they're rude, so, like, I know what's going on. Insensitive people are just insensitive. Like, they're ignorant of the way they make you feel. So they could accidentally make you feel bad without even realizing it. And rude people, they know they're being rude. So, like, I feel like with rude people, you at least you know what you got. You know what I mean? With insensitive people, you never know.
Yeah.
That's my two cents on that one. I don't know about you.
I think I might prefer insensitive because,
really?
Like, a rude person, it's premeditated, you know? Like, they know what they did. And they did it anyway.
They did it anyway. People are the worst sometimes. I mean, I don't want either if I had to pick.
Yeah.
But
you're right. Insensitive, like, there's no fixing that. They're just... You just need to get them out of...
You need to get them out.
You need to get them out.
You have nothing... Yeah, you can't change the fact that they're insensitive. Rude people, you can bring up that they're rude, and they might, like, be less rude.
Yeah.
But insensitive people don't even know they're being insensitive. So they're just like, it's not... There's no help for that.
Thinking about it that way, I think I'm going to change my answer because rude, if you tell someone that what they said was rude, there are levels to rude, you know.
There's a chance that they'll be like, oh, I'll
just take it back a couple notches next time.
Yeah. I'll be less rude.
Yeah.
Insensitive people, if you're like, that was insensitive, they'll be like, no, it wasn't. That's just the way I am.
Yeah.
You know, or da 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 da. And then they're not going to change anything. I mean, I don't know if that's true, but.
Because, you know, I'm a pretty sensitive person. unfortunately. But
I'm really sensitive, and I've noticed that lately as I've grown older, which is kind of sad. And I don't know if I've always been sensitive or I just didn't realize I was sensitive until recently, but like some things that people do that I would classify as insensitive, I don't think they know that they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes, this is going to sound so awful, but like sometimes, I'm sorry to get into like a weird topic at the end of the show.
Oh, it's okay.
I've been thinking about this. Sometimes people are insensitive to me and I don't think they're doing it on purpose. But like sometimes I feel like I'm taking it too much to heart, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like I'm overanalyzing their insensitivity to me when they don't really mean to or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, it's hard to get out of that mind space though sometimes. Cuz you want to assume good intentions. But there is a line that you have to draw, right? To be like, okay, there's good intentions and screwing up, and then there's intentionally being an asshole or intentionally being an insensitive person. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think a good example with me is I don't do well with practical jokes. Like, have you ever had someone play a practical joke on you? Yes. I have. And no one's ever done it like twice that. Because I don't handle it.
I get mad at practical jokes.
Yeah, I can't laugh at stuff like that.
I don't really see them as fun.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think it's because they're just like, they're making me feel bad in that moment.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've talked about this in the show before, where it's like, if I get in a bad mood, good luck, you know. Seriously, good luck, because you're not getting me out of that bad mood for at least 8 hours, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so if you do a practical joke on me, like other people, they're in a bad mood for a second, and then they realize it's a joke, and they're like, ha 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 ha, that's so funny. I realize it's a joke, and then I'm like, fuck that was stupid, what a waste of my time, and then I get more angry.
Yeah.
And I just, my mood becomes even worse. But yeah, I think I just get into the point where if I'm in a bad mood, I'm in a bad mood. And practical joke, surefire way to get me in a bad mood, and I'm just going to continue being in a bad
mood. I mean, someone cannot mean bad, and that's why, you know, I've had a practical joke played on me. I get into a bad mood, and then I'm going to kill your vibe for, like, the next week because of what you did.
Yeah, because I'm, like, mad or whatever. Yeah. And sometimes, like, it's not even just practical jokes that do this to me. Sometimes people have good intentions, and they do something that gets under your nerves, and maybe it's not necessarily a practical joke, but it's like a joke or something they do, and it just gets under your nerves, and then you get in a bad mood, and they assume that, like, oh, this is just a bad mood for, like, 10 minutes. Like, no.
Nope.
This is, like, a bad mood for a long time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's really hard to claw my way out of a bad mood.
Yeah.
Because all I think about when I'm in a bad mood is how bad of a mood I'm in, you know?
And how I can get them back. Yeah. Oh, you just wait, like, next year, they won't even see it coming.
What can I do to make them feel really bad or whatever, you know? And sometimes I try to, like, show people how bad of a mood I'm in to, like, be like, look what you did to me and my mood. Like, don't you feel bad for doing that thing now? And it, like, never works, but I'll do it anyway.
Yeah. You know? I usually just make myself look really dumb.
Yes, and I get myself in a worse mood because then I'll do that, and then I'll be like, ah, look what a bad mood I'm in, huff, huff, huff. And then they'll not even notice, and I'm like, now I'm in a worse mood because they're not even noticing that I'm trying to get back at them, and I just wasted a bunch of time and embarrassed myself in front of a lot of people. Like, great, and then I'm in a worse mood. And then
that's awesome.
This is my life. I don't know. I'm glad you also have a problem with that, but I'm a dumbass sometimes, I feel like.
No, me too. Yeah, everybody is. It's okay though.
Yeah. I don't have any fucking Reddits today. They're all bad.
How about another trivia?
Let's go. You have more?
Yeah, I have like 10.
This is a really bad Reddit question, and I can't ask it on the show, but it's really funny.
Do you want to just do it? No one's gonna make it this far in.
No. It's bad.
Are you sure?
It's not a comfortable subject to talk about, but it's really funny.
Test me. I bet you I can make it light enough to work in the show.
I don't think you can.
I bet I can.
It's not dark, but it's a topic that people don't want to talk about ever.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I do. I know a lot of
them. I'll just
say, like, a code word. We can screen it, like,
If I say the code word, everyone will know what it is.
Use one only I know.
No. If I say half of the sentence, you'll know where the rest of the sentence is going.
Just say it. I want to hear it so bad.
Okay. What's the worst notification you've received while...
Yeah. All right. You're right. We can't do that one.
I told you.
Oh, that's not good.
I can't even make a joke about it. It's
not good. The other week when I was at the grocery store, my mom called me. Like, does that work?
Let's do a trivia.
Okay.
Oh, God.
None of these are as good as Jack, but
that's okay.
It doesn't happen. The night before Halloween was called what for the New Englanders?
Okay.
Was it A, Satan's night? Mm-hmm. Was it B, the witch's night? Was it C, cabbage night?
Cabbage.
Or was it D, the sausage night?
They had a lot of sausages. Satan's night, witch's night, cabbage night, sausage night.
Yep.
Two spooky stuff, two food-related mm-hmm. things. Yeah. I'm going to wing this one.
Do it.
I'm not going to do any trivia lifelines. So, devil's night seems too obvious, you know. Witch's night could be New England because of Salem and all that shit. But I feel like that would be a little raw to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just happened. They don't want to talk about it. Sausage. I don't know how much they like sausage. Cabbage. I mean, I don't know. Something just really draws me to cabbage night. You know, they have a whole night where they put cabbages everywhere. And cabbage night. Final answer.
You're right. That's absolutely
really?
Correct. Yeah.
Holy shit. Did they go into any detail on this?
No, this is that Halloween.info site that thinks Jack was the first.
I don't know how that even works. I have a great trivia, or I have a great Reddit I just scrolled to.
Cool.
What's the fastest way to lose all your friends?
Oh.
This is good. Now, I just thought about this. I don't know if I can be considered part of this question.
Why?
Because, and I thought about this recently, because I thought about thinking about, like, best friends, mm-hmm. like the people that your best friends are. And I thought, I was like, I don't think you can do anything that would make me not be your friend anymore.
I've thought about this before, too.
Like, I don't know what you could do at this point. You know, like, even if it was really bad, I'd probably forgive you. You know?
Do you want me to give you like a kind of a funny topical example?
Yeah.
So you know how we switch off paying for our podcast hosting?
Yeah.
And usually to do that, like it's registered in your name, so when I pay, I mm-hmm. give you my credit card number.
Yep.
You could steal all my money. I'd still be your friend.
Yes. Well, good news for you is that I just did that. No, I'm just kidding. Would you really, though? Like, even if I stole all your money? Wouldn't you be mad at me, though?
I don't even know if I'd be mad. There are three people that could steal all my money, and I would probably think in the moment, oh, it's going to someplace better.
Like, this is probably important.
Yeah.
Like, I would have to justify it. Like, oh, I needed it for blah, blah, blah. And you'd be like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't say that, like, you spent it on, like, gambling or whatever.
A surfboard or something.
Yeah. But if you were like, I needed a liver. Like.
Yeah. Or, like, My car got crashed and my medical bills were really high and I was about to default on my mortgage. You'd be like, okay.
I'd be like, yeah.
It's fine.
No problem.
But yeah, it's the same because, like, I don't know what you could do. Short of, like, murdering people, I don't know if there's anything you could do that would make me not be your friend anymore.
Dude, even if you murdered someone, I would be like, okay, they must have been really bad. Do you need any help with that? Like...
Yeah, I'd probably do that too. I'd be like, they probably deserved it. They probably had it coming. He's a good judge of character.
Let's brainstorm alibis. I could say that you were at my apartment. Like,
there you go. We should have a murder plan.
Let's do it.
So in case we murder someone, we know. we probably shouldn't be doing this on the podcast, but it's fine. No one's listening at this point anyway. Like, the police would have to listen to 150 episodes to get here. They're never going to take that much time. You know what I mean? They're lazy assholes. They have no idea what they're doing. Okay. So if you murdered somebody.
Okay.
But you're in Florida and I'm in Texas. That makes it a little tricky.
We could say that we were recording a special episode of the podcast.
I don't know if that's going to check out. Because you can't really time that.
Here's what we do. We need to record a special emergency episode that's like 3 hours long. Mm-hmm. And we keep it on a secret floppy drive. Like, yes. Not a floppy.
It has to be a floppy drive, though. That's important. It's going to be multiple disks long, yes. Because it's not going to all fit
in one. It's going to be like 30 floppy disks, but oh well.
Sure. It's there, though.
And if you receive a text from me that says, I'm ready to record the secret podcast, that means you need to get that out of the safe deposit box where we keep it.
So I have yours and you have mine or something like
that? We each have a copy, yeah.
We each have a copy. Okay. Okay, got it. So you say, I'm ready to record the secret podcast.
Right. And that means, get ready, the police are about to call you, and you have to say that we were recording.
I have to say that we're recording a podcast when that happens.
And I have this to prove it.
And I have this to prove it. Okay. Yeah. No, that's good. That's pretty good. I don't know if it's completely alibi-free, but it's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like that's good, you know, because you're corroborating me being busy at that time.
Yeah, but I'm your best friend. They're not going to believe me.
I mean, they're not. This is like, no one schemes like this. They'd believe you, I think.
That's true. What if you killed somebody, mm-hmm. then you just immediately get in your car and drive to Texas, okay?
Okay.
And then when the police call me, I'm like, oh, he's here. He's been here for a week visiting me on vacation. Do you want to talk to him? You know what I mean?
It would be suspicious, though, because... like, I would have been at work yesterday, and...
That's true. That's fair. That is... okay, that makes it worse. You're right. All right, the podcast thing is the
secret podcast.
What if we made it look like it was live, like a live episode?
Okay, like I drove to Austin to record it?
No. Like you couldn't have been... killing someone because we were recording this live and it was like on the air, like live at the time or something. I don't know how we get that to work. But you see what I mean? Like other people heard it being live. You know what I mean?
We need to get some corroborators.
Yeah. We would need like our three super fans of the podcast to basically be in on this at the same time.
They would do it.
So we need Manasi and Spitfire. And Smellborp to be all in on this ruse. So if y'all are listening, if we murder someone, the time of the murder, we were doing a live episode of this podcast, and you have to back that up to the police. So that's just part of being a fan of the show. You know, that's just how it is. This comes with the territory, I think. Don't you think?
I think it'd be fun to... No, would it? I don't know.
To kill somebody?
No, what would it not be to kill to someone, but to like... scheme.
Oh, to have this plan.
To have like a plan that you do.
Dude, I love scheming. It's like my favorite thing. Yeah. We talked about this show before. Like, I don't like doing things, but scheming, there's nothing
better. That's the best. Scheming.
It's the best. Who's our sponsor today, Beth? Next.
Our sponsor today is Black Fortress Security Consulting Firm.
When you need a old world solution to a new world problem.
Black Fortress.
Choose Black Fortress. Remember when you're feeling kind of down.
Turn that frown upside down.
Upside down. Oh, you rhyme down with down. Good night, everyone. Have a great night. We love you. Bye. Drive safely. Bye.